We continue our learning Le'ilui Nishmas David ben Menachem Rosh Hashanah Yaakov and Pinchas Eliyahu. We're in Moed Katan, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Gimel. We're going to discuss the malacha of ksiva. Writing, of course, is a malacha we're not permitted to do on Shabbos or Yom Tov, and even on Chol HaMoed, unless there's going to be a need. There may be a need that is a Tzorach HaMoed, maybe a Dover HaAved, as we will see. Ve'elu Kosvin Ramoed, these are those documents that you're permitted to write on a Chol HaMoed, if, of course, they were not written before, and we're going to potentially see a davar of it. Number one is Kiddushei Nashim. Kiddushei Nashim is where, instead of using a ring, we're using a shtar, which is one of the ways to get married. Harei HaMukudeshesli, it's going to be written in a shtar. So that's something that can be written on Chol HaMoed, because if you postpone this until after the Chag, this is just Kiddushin. So it could be that the Kala is going to decide to marry someone else. So this is therefore a davar of it, and it's allowed. Also, we're allowed around Tanoim, the engagement contracts, where we have different financial obligations from the parents, from the fathers, related to the marriage. It also can be written and signed the Chol HaMoed. If you wait till after the Chag, it could be that someone is going to renege or reconsider. Then Mishnah says, Gittin, you're allowed to write a get. Husband is, let's say, is about to go on a trip, and he's not, let's say, a soldier out to war. We spoke about them in the days of David HaMelech. We'd have people write a get, and it was a get written on conditions, so his wife wouldn't have to fall to Yibum or Chalitza, or in a case where she wouldn't have to remain in Aguna if he didn't come back. So here, this is something that would obviously be necessary for Chol HaMoed, and this is something that for the Moed itself, and of course, when it's done on condition, the divorce would state that it would take effect if he would not return. Now, normally, a divorce document should not be done on Chol HaMoed itself. Should do really after the after Yom Tov, unless it's going to be a davar arid. For example, let's say the husband is now willing to divorce his wife, but he may change his mind, so then, of course, that would be a davar avid and would be allowed a regular get, but as opposed to this conditional get, which of course is the simple understanding of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah says v'shovarin. Shovar is a receipt, a person who's borrowing money, so he has the right to ask for a receipt after the debt is paid. So if he's, let's say, leaving town on Chol HaMoed, and the malveh is allowed to write a receipt for him. Otherwise, it could be that the loveh is going to say, if you don't have a receipt written for me, I'm not paying you back. And that would be the case even if, let's say, the debtor, the loveh, is not leaving the town. So nonetheless, the malveh can write a receipt on Chol HaMoed because maybe the loveh is willing to pay now and he won't have the money to pay later. So the malveh wants to have this receipt, the shovar, ready so that right now, so that the loveh, since the loveh he knows has the money now, will pay him back now, he'll give him the receipt. Then Mishnah says, what else can you write on Chol HaMoed? Diatiki. Diatiki is where it's a document that tells you that of a matnas shchivimah, a person who's on its sickbed, and he gets, we say, divrei shchivimah kesuvim kechsuvim. Normally you have to make a kinyan or something in order to give something to someone, but that's not true of a person who's on his sickbed, person who is a shriv beira. It's as if it's what he said to be done is as if it's written and already given over, and this is something, it's his bequest that we're able to put into a document. So this is something we're allowed to write down because we're afraid that maybe other people will claim that this person who was after he passed away said something else and gifted things to different people. We're afraid there's going to be a fight amongst the heirs, because before he dies, he's able to give any gift that he likes. After he dies, then it follows the regular rules of Yerusha. So this is something that can be written, the potential davar aved can be written on Chol HaMoed. And the Mishnah says, matana, a gift, someone is giving a gift of land. This is a regular healthy person, not a shchivira, but a bari. So we know that real estate is transferred by kesef shtar or chazaka. And here is a case where it's being done through a shtar, and you write it in a document that he's transferring the property to someone else. So this can be done on Chol HaMoed. The person who wants to give this gift can do so on Chol HaMoed, and can have this document written. Why? Because, once again, davar avid. Could be that he's going to rescind this gift, renege on his gift, and then it'll be a davar avid for the one who is the beneficiary of that gift. And others say that even, let's say the property itself was already transferred, throughout the title was given without any document in advance, nonetheless, the one who's receiving the gift, the beneficiary, wants a document in order to prove that indeed this was given to him. That is also can be considered a davar aved and written on Chol HaMoed. So that's matana. Then upros bolin, the prosbol, which is in order to ensure that that a person is going to Malva, is going to receive his receive the debt that's owed to him. As we know, the Shemitah year cancels all debts unless they write a prosmul, special document, which basically transfers the loan to the Beis Din, and the Beis Din therefore has the right to collect it. So prosmul, also a potential davar avet, can be written on Chol HaMoed. Igros Shum. Igros Shum evaluation documents. These are certificates that are written by the Beis Din, which evaluate the property of the lova, the one who borrowed, for the purpose of a lien on his property. For if he doesn't, he defaults on the loan, doesn't pay back, so at least there's property, there's a lien on the property for its nechasim shubadim now to be collected by the malveh in the case that the lova doesn't have any money. So these evaluation documents are allowed to be written on Chol HaMoed as well, and the and then the igros mazon. Then these are food, literally documents, support documents. When someone gets married, so there's a ksuva written, we know, and in there, one of the things written in the ksuva is that the daughters of this marriage are going to receive support from the estate. Let's say the husband passed away, the daughters shall be supported. Remember, the yorshim, if there are sons, are the only the sons are yoresh. What happens to the daughters? So part of the ksuva says that they're going to be supported. They're going to be supported by the ksuva itself. So and it says no money left. Let's say so the courts would make sure to sell part of the estate to make sure that there was enough money for their support. So in certain cases where there's not that much money, the females actually end up in a better state than the males. The males would have to go collecting, and we're afraid that maybe the heirs are going to contest any of these sales that that the court is going to do. We would need to write a document to ensure that these sales were made, and this is to raise funds from the estate for the support of the daughters. So this is something that can be done on Chol HaMoed. That is igros mazon. Some say it means, let's say someone obligates himself to support his stepdaughter for a certain amount of time. That's also something that's written, can be written on Chol HaMoed. Then Mishnah says, shtarei chalitza umeunim. So shtarei chalitza, of course, after chalitza is done, there we have documents written. This way we know that that this widow is released from this obligation to her brother-in-law, and she can marry anybody else. So she's given this written verification of that this chalitza to make sure that she has evidence so she can remarry someone else, that she wants to go on a trip, and she may want to marry someone, so she'd want to have this this document with her. So this is something that can be written that on Chol HaMoed as well. Also, maybe she'll meet someone right now, and a man is going to, and he may not be available after the Chag. And obviously, he's not going to marry unless she can prove that she had chalitza. So she wants this to be written now because she's dating during Chol HaMoed. So that's okay to show proof that she actually had chalitza. And then we said a shtar of meunin. Meun is refusal. This is normally a father has the right midoraisa to marry off his daughter. But when she's a ketana or even an ara, but after once she's 12 and a half, he cannot. But before that age, he is able to marry off. But midrabbanan, let's say the father's not alive, midrabbanan, the mother or the brother can marry her off. But that's only a marriage midrabbanan. And if she refuses by age 12 that she doesn't want to stay married, she doesn't even need a get. So that is called miun, and that's something that needs to be written in a document as well in order to certify that she can marry someone else, that indeed she did refuse. So that can be written on Chol HaMoed also. Ushtari Beirurin. Beirurin, this is in the beginning of the third parak of Sanhedrin. This is where you have two litigants in a case. They have the right, each one, they can select their judges themselves. Each one selects a judge, and then the two judges, or maybe the two of them litigants, now select the third judge. And this is Beirur, to choose to select. And this is what we call Zabla. Zeb Borolo Echad. So this is something that also is a document that's written. Documentation can be done on Chol HaMoed because we want to make sure that these judges will accept, and we want to make sure that it's written down because maybe we won't be able to find them. They won't be available after the Chag. The Gizra Ugzeros Beis Din. Beis Din makes a Gezerah. So also rulings that a court has, that has to be written, recorded as well, maybe be forgotten, and they may not reach that same decision the next time around. So that's also potential davar ha'avid. Some say that this refers to, let's say, nidui, or malkos or something, putting someone in cherem, of someone who violated certain halachos. So this is something we have to record, because maybe they'll forget how severe it was, they'll cool down a little bit. So this we want to write it on cholamoid. The igros shel rashus. And igros of now rashus, generally you have that from Pirkei Avos as well. Rashus means the government. So if we read the word as rashus, it refers to official decrees by the government, letters that are written. It's certain needs that the community has. We want to make sure that they're written down, so make sure that they keep their word. And some say that rashus may refer, that we read it as rishus, and rishus means permission. What does that mean? So permission may mean that we're talking about documents of permission that are given by the Nasi. And what the Nasi does is the Nasi is the one who gives permission to certain people to serve as judges. That's something you want to write down as well. So if you're not an authorized judge, so we don't want you to judge, and there's certain rules about erroneous decisions of judges, those who were appointed, those who were not appointed, also discussed in the first parak of Sanhedrin. So we want to write those down as well. And others say Rishus just refers to letters, social letter, people, social correspondence. People want to write a letter to someone, and this is one of the sources of writing letters to people on Chol HaMoed. Is that permitted? Generally, Ksiva is not allowed. Is there any need at all? So some say, yeah, it's part of Simchas Yontif. The person who writes it gets Simcha. The person who's going to receive the letter gets Simcha. And some are a little bit more strict about that, and only allow the writing of a letter if it's something that may be, lead to a davar avad. But either way, our general practice of writing, even in cases of she'elah shalom, is only when with a zeshita. We have to do some type of change and modification. You write it with your other hand, or you're writing it holding the pen differently, or the writing comes out a little bit crooked. Either way, that's something we try to do on Chol HaMoed. Perek Gimel, Mishnah Dalet. Ein kosvin shtarei chov b'moed. A shtar chov is a loan contract. Now, your malve lends money to a love. So, okay, obviously he was willing to lend him money. So if they have a nice relationship, so we don't have to be worried that the lov is going to default on the loan. So this is something that doesn't need to be written on Chol HaMoed. Of course, if we are afraid that the loan may not be paid back, then of course that's a davar of it, and it can be written on Chol HaMoed. Then eino ma'amino, as the Mishnah says, let's say he doesn't trust him. The creditor, the malveh, suspects he's not going to pay back. O she'ein lo ma yochal. Or let's say something different. He doesn't have anything to eat, meaning the sofer who's writing the shtar has nothing to eat, meaning he needs this for his own simchas yontif, as we discussed. Poel ma she'en lo ma yochal is one of the five heterim where we allow malacha. So it could be the malva and lova trust each other, but the lova needs the money. So we say, okay, let's hire you to write the document now. So this is something that we liked, we allow him to do so if he doesn't have sufficient food to celebrate the chag. That is something that we would allow, even though it's being done in a skilled kind of way. Now, when we're talking about a loan that we allow here, Eino Mamino and Starichov, etc. So different opinions, what kind of loan we're talking about, where we permit writing a note on Chol HaMoed. Some Rishonim say it can be done even if the borrower needs the money to invest, and the borrower doesn't need the money for the chag at all. And others say, no, it's only if he needs money for the chag. And others claim as long as you use some of the money on the chag, it's fine, even though it's not specifically done, money that's being used for Simchas Yontif. You're using the money, but maybe not for something that's needed for Simchas Yontif, then it's still okay to have this document written, assuming that either the sofer needs the money, or the malveh is afraid the loveh will not pay him back. So once again, Mishnah says, "Eino mamino o she'ein lo mayochal harei zeichto." Then you can write it. Then Mishnah says, "Ein kosin sfarim tefillin mezuzos b'moed." Not permitted to write Sifrei Torah or Tanakh or tefillin mezuzos on Chol HaMoed. Ah, you'll say this is a mitzvah. So the answer is, I could have done this before, and unless of course you need them for the chag. So then, of course that would be okay if you don't have a choice. Some bring a raya for here. Then maybe this is a proof that we do wear tefillah on a chol hamoed. Different opinions about that. It's certainly different customs. But the Mishnah does mention tefillin as well. Here, ve'ein magin osachas. Let's say you have it. There's an error in the Sefer Torah. So the Mishnah here says you're not permitted to fix that. Afilu b'sefer ha'azara, even in the Sefer of the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash. So what does it mean? So this, of course, is something that is that if we don't need it, we're not going to fix it. Obviously, this would be usur if you don't need the Sefer Torah. So take the example of the Sefer HaAzara. So we mentioned, we learned Masechus Yuma, the Kohen Gadol read the Torah on Yom Kippur. And that was a special Sefer Torah that doesn't need to be repaired. It's true, it was used at that time for Tzarchei Rabim, but for right now, we don't need it. It's only needed on Chol HaMoed. Of course, once again, if the Kila does not have another Sefer Torah, besides the one that needs fixing, so of course it can be repaired. Now, some say that the Mishnah's Gersa is not Afila B'Sefer HaAzara, but rather B'Sefer Ezra. Sefer Ezra is Ezra the Sofer, of course, he wrote a Sefer Torah, and that was kept in the area of the Beis HaMikdash, which was used, as we've mentioned this in the past, I think we learned Maseches Megillah, that this was considered the text, that there was that had the greatest authority. So whenever you had questions about how accurate the words are, or Sefer Torah, when you're writing a new Sefer Torah, they would always use this and refer to this Sefer Torah. So we're not allowed to fix that either, because that's also not a need for the Chag. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kosev Adam Tfilin Mezuzos La'atzmo, you're allowed to write Tfilin Mezuzos for yourself. It means if they're not going to be sold, and you're not going to rent them, you're not making a profit on them, so you're allowed to write them for yourself, and that's what it means. So yourself may just mean that you're not selling them. And others say no, maybe it means it's for personal use, even though I'm not going to use them on the Chag itself, I need them for afterwards. So different explanations of what La'atzmo actually means. And he says, so this is something that's allowed. And v'stove al yerecho techeles litzitziso. And another halacha, you're allowed to spin the techeles, the blue thread for techeles, on his thigh. Now, this is something that means that you could do it with a shinoi. Here, you need it for the chag. So it says, I'm allowed, the Bar Tanur says, shenosein al yachut al yerecho. You put the thread on your thigh, and then you roll it with your hand, against your thigh. That's the way. And then it gets spun by itself. You can't roll it between your fingers, nor can you use anything professional. You can't use a spinning wheel, because that is so. That's the kederach shosa b'chol. You want to avoid that. And it becomes very obvious that you're doing a malacha. So Rabbi Yehuda allows, once again, writing tefillin umezuzos la'atzmo, whatever la'atzmo means, and you can spin tcheles for tzitzis with a shinoi. However, the halacha is that you can even spin tcheles in a normal way.